Welcome back. In this lesson, we're designing a DJ-friendly outro for drum and bass in Ableton Live, and we're doing it in a way that makes your track easy to mix out of. This is one of those small arrangement skills that has a massive impact in the real world, because a DJ outro isn't just the end of the song, it's mix space. It's a tool. Here's the vibe we're aiming for. The last 32 bars feel locked, predictable, and energetic, but not attention-hungry. Drums stay dependable. The bass stops doing acrobatics, and any effects you use are there to mark phrasing, not to drown the groove. Alright, open your track in arrangement view. Step 0 is the unsexy part, but it's the part that makes DJs love you. Grid and phrasing. Go to the end of your track and set a loop brace over the last 32 bars. If your tune is short, do 16, but 32 is the classic thank you to DJs in drum and bass. Now zoom in enough to confirm everything lines up cleanly on the grid in 4/4. Next, drop locator so your structure is visually obvious. Put one at the start of the outro, and label it outro start 32. Then add locators at 16 bars from the end, 8 bars from the end, 4 bars from the end, and finally at the very end. These aren't just for you. They force you to think in DJ phrases, 32, 16, 8, 4. That's how blends happen. Quick coaching note. Make the last 32 bars visually obvious. Color your outro clips. Drums one color, bass another, effects another. No DJ will ever see it, but you'll arrange faster and you'll make fewer oops edits at 3 a.m. Now, step 1. Decide your outro type. For beginner-friendly DJ utility, pick a rolling DJ outro. That means full, steady drums, simplified bass, and minimal hooks. We're not doing an emotional pad fade today. We're building something that would still make sense if a DJ started mixing the next tune right over it. Step 2. Strip musical clutter. This is where a lot of tracks accidentally become hard to mix. In the last 32 bars, you want no new melodic information. So any main lead, vocal phrase, big attention-grabbing mid-bass riff, any main character element, start muting it or reducing it. In Ableton, a super fast, non-destructive move is to select those clips and press 0 to deactivate them. Now you can slash beat easily. Did the track suddenly become easier to mix? Usually, yes. A simple rule of thumb. Last 32 bars, stop introducing ideas. Last 16 bars, simplify even more. Last 8 bars, mostly drums, maybe sub, and controlled effects tails. If your brain is like, but won't it feel empty? Great question to ask yourself. Energy doesn't have to come from notes. It can come from motion. Hat can carry momentum. A tiny texture loop can keep it alive. Micro-automation can give movement without adding clutter. Step 3. Build the DJ-ready drum backbone. DJs need something to grab onto. In drum and bass, that's typically the steady snare on 2 and 4 and a consistent timekeeping layer. So duplicate your main drum group clips into the outro section. Then simplify. Your goal is stable kick and snare pattern. Hats keep rolling, and fills are rare and predictable. Here's a really safe approach. Keep your main groove basically unchanged across the outro. Only allow a small fill at phrase boundaries, like at the end of bar 16 of the outro, and right before the end of bar 32. That's it. If you do fills every 2 bars, it might sound exciting solo, but it becomes a nightmare during a blend because the DJ can't predict your transients. If you want the drums to feel more finished in the outro without changing the pattern, use light bus processing. On the drum group, add drum bus. Keep it modest. Drive somewhere in the 5-15% range. Boom low or even off if it starts messing with your kick and sub relationship. And adjust amp to avoid harsh tops. Then, if you want glue, add glue compressor with a slowish attack like 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, ratio 2:1, and only 1-2 dB of gain reduction. The goal is locked, not squashed. Teacher tip. Transient clarity is rule number 1. If at any point the snare stops reading clearly, the outro stops being DJ-friendly. The mix can be huge, but the snare has to be readable. Step 4. Simplify the bass so it doesn't fight the next track. In blends, the biggest clash is almost always low end and low mids, so your bass becomes more functional now. A classic rolling move is, keep the sub steady and filter down the mid-bass over time. Put auto filter on your mid-bass group or bass bus. Choose low pass. Start your cutoff somewhere like 6 to 10 kHz, depending on how bright your bass is, then slowly automate it downward across the outro, aiming toward maybe 1 to 3 kHz by the time you're in the last 16 or last 8 bars. Keep resonance subtle, like 5 to 15%. You're not making a dubstep wobble, You're just removing sharp edges so the incoming track has space. For the sub, simplify the notes. Hold root notes longer. Cue fast changes. In the last 16 bars, imagine the sub as an anchor for the DJ to sit on, not a lead instrument. There's also an alternate move for the very end. In the last 4 to 8 bars, you can high pass the bass so the DJ can slam in the next drop without low-end warfare. If you do that, automate a high pass from around 30 to 60 Hz up to 150 or even 250 Hz near the end over 1 or 2 bars. That's more of a DJ tool ending. Use it tastefully. And for heavier, darker styles, you can keep a threat tone instead of a melody, like a single-note Reese layer filtered down with tiny LFO movement. It stays menacing, but it doesn't clutter the blend. Step 5. Create mix markers with FX but keep them clean. FX in the outro should help the DJ feel the phrasing. Think of them like signposts. Here's a new 8-bar phrase. Here's the last 16. Here's the final 8. But they should never mask your drums. A safe setup is to put reverb and delay on return tracks so you can control them with sends. On a reverb return, set a decay around 1.5 to 3.5 seconds and darken it with a high cut somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz. Then, and this is huge, EQ out the lows hard after the reverb. Cut everything below 150 to 250 Hz so your reverb never muddies the kick and sub. If you use delay, keep it subtle, and 1/8 or 1/4 echo, low feedback like 10 to 25%, and low cut around 200 to 400 Hz so it doesn't smear low mids. Now, for a really DJ-friendly phrase marker, every 8 bars, do a one-hit reverb send bloom on the snare. Just one snare hit. It's a tiny moment of space that tells the DJ where the phrase turns, without changing the drum pattern. You can also add a downlifter into the final 8 bars. Noise into a filter sweep down. Short reverb, done. If you notice the downlifter is covering the snare, sidechain it to the snare. Put a compressor on the FX track, enable sidechain from the snare, fast attack, medium release. Now the snare stays punchy even with the transition effect. Step 6. The last 8 bars. This is the money zone. Think of the outro energy taper like this. From 32 to 17 bars from the end, it still rolls, but the hook is gone. From 16 to 9, bass movement reduces, fills get even rarer. From 8 to 1, it's mostly drums, minimal sub, subtle controlled effects. Then the last 1 or 2 bars decide what kind of ending you're giving the DJ. You've got 2 reliable endings. Ending 1 is the DJ loopable ending, and it's the most blend-friendly. You keep drums consistent right up to the end. No dramatic stop. Nothing that only happens once. The DJ can loop the last 8 or 16 bars and it still feels natural. This is perfect for long blends. Ending 2 is the clean slam ending. If you do this, keep it simple and grid safe. A common move is removing the kick for the last bar, or pulling the sub out for the last bar, leaving snare and hats and a controlled tail. That creates space for the next track to punch in, but don't do a random hard stop with no warning. In drum and bass, surprises in the blend zone are rarely appreciated. Also, make the final 4 bars loop-proof. If a DJ loops them, nothing should build into a muddy mess. Any long reverb tail should be faded, gated, or simply not there. Step 7. DJ-proof checks. This is where you go from sounds good to works in a club. First, mono your sub. Put utility on the sub track and set width to 0%. That's not a creative choice. It's a translation choice. Second, manage low-end conflicts. On the bass group, use EQ8 and check that 30 to 60 Hz isn't going crazy. You don't need to kill it. Just keep it controlled. Third, keep headroom consistent. Don't push the limiter harder in the outro than in the drop. DJs rely on consistent loudness to mix confidently. Now do the best test you can do inside Ableton. The blend stress test. Drag a reference drum and bass track after your tune and arrangement. Overlap it by 32 bars, like a DJ would. Press play from your outro start and listen to the overlap. While both play, ask, is your snare still readable? Does the combined low end feel overloaded? Are there any leftover melodic parts that clash with the reference track's hook? Also do an A/B a DJ monitoring volume. Turn it down. If the groove still counts clearly when quiet, you nailed the functional structure. If it only works when it's loud, the outro probably relies on wash or hype instead of clean timekeeping. Before we wrap, let's quickly hit the common mistakes so you can avoid them on your next track. Don't do random outro lengths like 12 bars. Stick to 16 or 32. Don't leave a full melody or vocal running to the end. If you want easy blends, don't drown the drums in huge reverb tails. Don't keep drop-level bass movement all the way through. Don't spam fills every couple bars, and don't hard stop without a clear, intentional design. Now a mini practice assignment you can do in, like, 15 to 30 minutes. Create a 32-bar outro at 174 BPM. Add locators at 32, 16, 8, and end. Keep kick and snare consistent. Only add a tiny fill at the 16-bar boundary and right before the end. Automate a low-pass filter on the mid-bass from around 8K HE down to around 2K HE over the last 16 bars. Keep the sub-notes longer. Add one downlifter into the final 8 bars. And do that one hit snare reverb bloom every 8 bars as a phrase marker. Export it, listen back, and ask, can you imagine mixing another tune over this without fighting it? That's the core mindset. Think like a DJ. What can they grab? What stays predictable? What leaves space? If you tell me your subgenre roller, liquid, jungle, neuro, and whether you want a loopable tool ending or a slam-friendly ending, I can give you a bar-by-bar blueprint, what to remove, what to keep, and exactly where to place the tiny FX markers so it mixes like a dream.